It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Construction has finished on a new floating pier off the Gaza Strip to allow critical aid to flow into Palestine as the war in Gaza continues.
The U.S. military's pier project is an important step in bringing much-needed supplies to Palestinians who have been facing starvation. But humanitarian aid groups say it's not enough.
Last month, a group of ships called the Gaza Freedom Flotilla tried to enter Palestine with over 5,000 tons of supplies, but were turned away after the nation of Guinea-Bissau removed its flags from the ships.
Organizers say Israel is to blame for putting pressure on the government. The president of Guinea-Bissau denies that.
Cassandra Dixon is a Wisconsin activist who was part of the flotilla and is a member of the Madison Rafa Sister City Project. She's volunteered in the West Bank for nearly 20 years. I talked with her recently and asked her about those ships and what they were carrying. Can you describe this group of ships that attempted to reach the Gaza Strip?
Sure. These ships were organized by the Freedom Flotilla. They were a civilian mission, an attempt to bring 5,500 tons of really desperately needed aid to Gaza. So it included people from more than 30 countries who would have been aboard a passenger ship accompanying that larger aid ship. We were hoping to sail from Istanbul. So all of us spent a week, 10 days, depending on when we arrived, waiting for and hoping that we would be able to do that. In the end, we were not able to. And we're waiting now. We're all back in our home countries, but very much hoping that we'll be able to try again.
So this aid ship was all of these, the humanitarian aid was loaded in Turkey, in Istanbul. Is that right?
Yes, right. The aid ship itself is loaded with medicine and food and water and other really, really needed aid and had already undergone multiple inspections and was ready to go. And we really thought the next day that all of the various problems had been cleared and that we would be able to get on there onto the passenger ships and sail with it. But in the end, it didn't happen. We believe that Israel was able to pressure. It was the government of Guinea-Bissau. It was Guinea-Bissau that had flagged the ships, their international ships registry. And it's really almost unheard of for a country to withdraw flags, but that happened.
Guinea-Bissau in Western Africa. And one of the demands that I understand is they wanted a manifest of your cargo. Was that unreasonable?
I mean, no, that particular demand is not unreasonable. And the ship had already undergone two complete inspections of that cargo. So, I mean, not only was there a manifest of the cargo, but there were eyes on it multiple times. And then Guinea-Bissau itself was in the midst of a third inspection of that same cargo, but they didn't finish the inspection. And they also did not find anything wrong with the cargo. They didn't state that as a reason for pulling the flag.
So what happens to all this water and medicine and supplies with these ships unable to sail?
The aid agency from Turkey that was involved in putting together the aid will try to get that particular aid through Egypt. There are thousands of trucks waiting now at the border crossing, hoping to bring aid in, and this will just be more aid in that line now. If we are able to resolve the flagging issue and able to go again, then we will replace that aid. But in the meantime, it itself will be in line there. The problem is that I watched videos yesterday of truck drivers just begging the world to put pressure on Israel to open that border crossing to the aid trucks because some of them have perishable aid on them that is indeed perishing right now. And it's additionally heartbreaking because it's just minutes, 10 minutes away from people who are actually starving in need of that food right now.
Meanwhile, the U.S. military has opened this floating pier that's been installed to be able to be a route into the Gaza Strip. Would that have been helpful for the flotilla?
I believe myself that that's a huge distraction. There are thousands of trucks lined up minutes away from the people who need that aid. They are operated by agencies who deal with aid all the time. That's what they do. They are well set up to deliver it. They have people inside of Gaza waiting to distribute that aid. So if there was a sincere longing to allow aid in, what we would do is insist that the Rafah border crossing be opened.
How has Israel's blockade affected efforts to bring humanitarian aid into Palestine? What have you seen?
Well, I think that we're all seeing, and certainly in the steps that they took to prevent this one ship, they're very determined to blockade, to sustain a blockade of Gaza. So Gaza is a tiny place. It's 25 miles long, and at its very widest point, it's 7 miles. So here in Wisconsin, that would fit between Madison and Baraboo in a narrow strip that 7 miles is a tiny width. So it's been the world's largest open-air prison since Israel instituted this blockade 16 years ago. And the problems since October 7th obviously have been much, much worse. So much of Gaza has been bombed and the food supply is completely destroyed. But even before that, some of the items that were not allowed in by Israel included wheelchair parts and chips and various toys, foods of all kinds. People were limited to 1,100 calories a day based on the amount that was allowed in. So this has been a stranglehold on the people of Gaza for many, many years, and has also completely prevented them from having any kind of independent international commerce. They're not able to import or export anything of their own. It's hard to imagine a country sustaining life like that.
Israel argues that the naval blockade is justified to prevent weapons from entering Gaza and getting into the hands of Hamas and other militant groups. Do you think that that is warranted?
Well, that certainly was not the case with the ship that we were trying to sail in. There were no weapons on that ship. It had gone through two complete inspections and was well on the way through a third, which absolutely proved that there was nothing on there that needed to be of any concern to anyone. So in this instance, definitely, this was definitely a ship with no weapons that had only desperately needed humanitarian aid that was blocked from coming in. And I think that the same is true for the trucks that are lined up at the border crossing now. Oranges and flour and apples, and there are not weapons in those food trucks, and yet there are masses of them being blocked. When you look at these videos, it's miles of blocked trucks.
We're talking about Wisconsin-based efforts to bring aid to Palestine with Cassandra Dixon with us, a member of the Madison Rafah Sister City Project, and we've been learning about her recent efforts to bring supplies into the area as part of the Gaza Freedom Coalition. Cassandra, explain for us as well your connection to the Madison Rafah Sister City Project and what this organization does.
Right. Well, Madison Rafah Sister City Project started originally. They hoped to become an official sister city with Rafah, and they were not able to do that. However, they have remained an active project. We have funded a number of humanitarian projects in the city of Rafah, the area of Rafah, over the years, including water filters and school projects, mental health programs for children, school supplies. We've had a long relationship with several organizations there that provide jobs for people through making crafts, so soap and embroidered crafts that we have brought to Madison and sold, and had a revolving craft account where we would purchase what we could and resell it, and then with the money that came back, just repurchase that, so that people who are living in this situation of an embargo there, of a blockade, and are so challenged by not being able to sell their products easily, would have access to a Madison market to sell those things.
Has Madison faced obstacles in its sister city relationship to Rafah?
Well, the most devastating for us and also for Rafah has been that we have not been able to visit, and people from Rafah have not been able to visit here, because Israel so tightly controls who can go in and out of Gaza. In fact, Representative Mark Pocan tried very hard to visit Gaza himself and has long been a proponent of this sister city relationship and enthusiastic about it and wanted to visit himself and was not allowed in. So that has definitely been a difficult thing in maintaining that relationship. Most sister cities are able to have cultural exchanges between the two, have students come back and forth, and that we've not been able to do. And also, sadly, at this point, all of the humanitarian things that we've funded over the years have been destroyed.
Hmm. Returning now to the Gaza Strip, and you personally, do you have plans to try to go back and be part of this type of activism?
Well, we very much hope that we will be able to sail a boat with the equivalent amount of aid to Gaza in the coming weeks. The planners are searching for a country that's brave enough to flag a ship. And we very, very much hope that we will be able to complete this citizen initiative to bring aid. It's not just the U.S. involved here. There were people from more than 30 countries. And all of those people have been doing all that we can throughout this time to raise awareness of the genocide that is happening in Gaza. And many of us had been involved with understanding the occupation even, you know, long before October 7th. And so we're very much hoping that we'll be able to try again and that a way will open for citizens to deliver this desperately needed aid.
Cassandra, thank you so much for joining us and thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cassandra Dixon is a carpenter based in Madison and a member of the Madison Rafa Sister City Project. We've been talking about her years of humanitarian aid work in Palestine and her recent efforts to bring supplies into the Gaza Strip as part of the Gaza Freedom Flotilla.